June 1971. Channel 2, right, and I'm setting it up for Everett this Tuesday at supper, the 15th of June, 1971. This is Channel 2, right, and I'm setting it up for Everett this for supper this Tuesday, the 15th of June, 1971. Channel 2, right, and I'm setting it up for Everett this Tuesday for supper, the 15th of June, 1971. Channel 2, right. I'm setting it up for Everett this 15th of June for supper in 1971. Channel 2, right. I'm setting it up for Everett this for this Tuesday at supper the 15th of June, 1971. Channel 2, right. And I'm setting it up for Everett this Tuesday at supper the 15th of June, 1971.
Politicians are great at compromising and postponing. But for our children, education is a now or never thing. And for them, that compromise in Tallahassee is a tragedy. This was a WJXT editorial. Bill Grove speaking to the
WJXT. I didn't hear any of that thing.
Did you hear the news?
No, I listened to y'all. I couldn't hear what you said out there.
Yeah, I know. Come on in here. We're not quite ready to eat.
That's
restaurant,
huh?
I can tell, in other words, why it's got anything going. I don't like to bother with too much. I had one to blow up, you know, and I carried it been back to a little tape radio.
Oh, really?
And it one of those stereos. And the thing you made different now, no tubes in them. See, the new one, I didn't pay for $23, I think, for it. Bought a sitting room book. And it knocked the thing out, and I carried it back and fixed them, and they wanted about $20 to fix it. I said, just put the thing back together. And I couldn't stand that.
Just throw it in the trash.
So I carried it over to Wilson, and I told the old boy about it, and he says, hey, your radio, I'll let you use. And it costs too much. Well, I said, forget about it. I said, that's a good enough deal. So I haven't heard anything. I've been using it now ever since the baseball business been on tonight. I'm a baseball fan, see. And I've been listening to Atlanta Braves, in other words. They've been getting torn up the last few weeks, but he said, I dropped your card. And I haven't heard from him, and I haven't had a chance to go to Wilson. Wanted to go today, but I didn't have a chance to. I wanted to get a drum of tractor fuel and some grease. Put him in, boy. And I said, well, I need some grease. Some of them, I get it in cotton, to keep messing your hand up. It costs a little bit more, about 5 cents a pound more. But they keep getting all messed up, you know, and just slip it in the gun, the cottages.
Well, you got to have a special gun.
Yeah.
But
my gun, I got two guns, and both my guns, you can slip the cottage in it. You can suck the other grease up in it. You don't have a 5 gallon bucket.
Yeah.
But you got to clean it all off. You get it all over your hands and all in that gun. Well, you just take the cap off and slip it in there, and you pull the other off after you get it in there, screw the thing on there, and you got it.
You know, that's just like the automatic transmission.
There you go.
You can't win with that old stick.
No. Uh-uh.
You know?
No.
And you can't win with this old grease gun.
No, you sure can.
You can't load it.
That's right. It's a job. Is that where they get
and
the
you know
gas,
they've got
see?
The pressure gun that they, you know, load it with pressure. But it's so much trouble to load.
Oh yeah. That's
and
right.
And they half fill it or they overfill it.
That's
it looks
right.
Like it's
yeah.
Gonna explode.
Yeah.
Now, I've never tried that.
That's
I've never tried
got
the
got
cartridges.
One is a Lincoln, and the other one, I think, I don't know what it is. One of them called a Lincoln. They use the cartridges. And the other one, I don't know what it is. I have two of them. But both of them are good guns, and you don't have no trouble with the air business. You know, this other way, you have a lot of trouble with the air. You got to loosen that screw, you know, and one thing or another, and pump it, pump, pump.
Right.
And that other's already packed in the can, and it, you don't have it. Just maybe a half an inch of air right there, and you pump it about 3 times, and then it's ready to, one of them going to put that grease for me in that wall over there. You got your pressure already built up.
I want to see them. You got them over at your house?
Yeah. But it's made like the other guns, you know, what you put in the ram in there, you don't pull it up, you don't lock it.
Sure.
You got one of them, haven't you?
Yeah. Except mine won't lock. The only way I can do it is put it in the vise.
It is.
I just pull that out and stick it in the vise.
Well, then you got to take your hand or stick a paddle and put it in. You get a lot of air in there, and you can't get it but half full. Then you get through. Well, then you got to wash it off in tractor fuel or kerosene or gas.
That's right.
And have a rag to clean your hands up. But these others, I think the last one I got didn't cost it about $3.50 for the gun.
Yeah.
And I've had both. One of them is a I think I've had one of them by as long as I have that biggest tractor that I have.
Well, now,
what
does Era get? What was he getting?
Era was getting the regular grease. He still got the old type like you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that girl he worked with, that widow girl out there, Bladney girl, she got the old type. The old guns, in other words.
Yeah.
But Jippy got the kind, you know, that you pour the, you know, take a paddle and fill up the bucket and one, put the lid on it and pump it and got a long, flexible hose on it. But that hose, it'll get nasty, and you get all your trousers all greased, you know. And he said, well, you're supposed to get a lot of grease on when you're working on equipment.
Yeah.
But I know they like to do it. It's hard on the washing machine and hard on clothes, too, getting grease all over. That's what I told old Cookie. I said, you getting all dirty underneath there and working with that thing. He said, well, you're supposed to get dirty, and you're pulling many wrenches I pull. That's what Cookie said.
What was he getting out of
the watermelon truck? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Getting all dirty and over. And I told him plenty of sacks in. I gave him enough sacks to reline his truck and everything for watermelon. It had a few still on it, in other words. And I gave him a lot of sacks that, you know, had a small hole and all lined the wall with all the way around.
Yeah.
And I said, now, they don't leave me in the rot and the rain. I mean, you don't have a shed. No, I don't have a shed to put it on. I said, well, it's been under the shed. Don't leave your sacks in there to rot them.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, a lot of people know it. Well, I like to have some more shed room too. I got some of my equipment know that I like for it to be on the shed, like that hay rake. I paid about $700 for that hay rake, and it stays out in the woods. I'd like to have a shed to put it on. Of course, it's not too much to it. Still, you know, it'd be a lot better to keep it on out of the weather. And I got 2 or 3 hair that should be under the weather. Got a tandem hair, and I got a bush and bog. But
that hay rake, you buy it new?
Bought it brand new. I didn't get it with the machine. I got the bale. I don't know what, through the university up there.
Yeah.
It was on the
lease
outfit, and they used it one season to bale, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 bale at the university.
Yeah.
And they got out of it. They didn't have anybody knew how to operate it. They wanted me to come up and operate it. And I helped that boy with that solid and stuff up there, and I'd work it.
Now, where'd you get your rake?
I bought it from Joe Farmer. It's New Holland, 56.
Oh, you trade with Joe?
Yeah.
Well, now, Willie said he couldn't trade with Joe.
I'm trade with him, but I can't Ocala. Perry and Smith, I can't deal with him. In fact, I can't deal with that other boy that's in the office there either. He's the one that had that old diesel tractor, in other words, want to make me a good deal.
Yeah.
And he got a deal, all right. He set it up about after he painted. He wanted about $300 or $400 more than what he told me he thought he'd get for it. Then I come to find out with that type of that cap on the side where you got to buy your can of this ether and shoot it about 3 times to crank the thing. I said, I've had experience with one like that. I said, I want one like the lightning boy. It's got a heat to control. Once you push it 2 or 3 times, though, and you turn the switch on, it'll fire up like a gasoline tractor. You use gas in yours, most of them do. Both of them, or you just want to use gas in both of your tractors. But that diesel, if you crank up just like a gas tractor. That little one of mine, I used to use gas in it.
Yeah. But you know, if I tracted much, I couldn't afford gas.
No.
Oh, I just put 5 gallons after 5 gallons after 5 gallons in there.
Yeah.
It don't last no time.
That's what I told Cedar Junior. He got one, you know, a big one that uses gas, and that thing will use about 20 or 22 gallons a day.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I get rebate on that tank tag, marked, you know, tractor. I said, yeah, but that's still not about 3 or 4 cents a gallon you get back. And I said, it'd burn more gas. And if it's a diesel, it'll burn more gas than it will diesel.
Yeah.
I said, I know that because you got a diesel, in other words, and it's a bigger tractor. It's 77 horsepower.
Yeah.
And it doesn't burn as much as that gas burner does. And there's not even any horses to it. It's one of those MF,
yeah.
175.
Yeah.
And it's a gas burner. Of course, a lot of people want it, and he said he could have done sold it. I said, if I'd have been you, I'd have done sold it and bought me another John Deere diesel.
Yeah.
That's what I told him. But he got it from old Crum down here at Bellevue. Isn't that where he is, Crum? I think I mentioned you before. I think he's in politics. I believe that's where that boy was. Some kind of politics. Anyway, Cedric got that tractor on a trade for that butt-headed diesel track that he had, you know, pulling that trailer with. And that Wright boy, Gerald Wright, bought the trailer, the box. And Crum bought the tractor that pulled the unloading wagon where he hauled, you know, 18 tons of citrus pulp, you know, and got a
moat on it and unloads it. Anyway, told me he's going to charge him and let him haul it out. He didn't have any money. The man was working on a shoestring, but he said, I'll get the power takeoff. And he wants that motor you got on your hay bale, and I'm going to put a power takeoff in on my hay bale.
Yeah. Which you haven't done it?
No. He didn't, get the motor. I left up in October, and they billed me, and I guess she put it on the billing of it. She should have billed E.L. Smith instead of Smith Brothers. But I didn't say anything to him about it. I know she asked him, though. She's a bookkeeper. She paid off on boy, you know. $700 a week payroll, in other words. Paid off Uri and Mondo Gill and J.B. and them. All of them draw, better than $100 a week.
Yeah, right.
Carpenter. Construction work. Smith Brothers Construction.
Now, what has Cedar got to do with that?
He's financier. He finds some money. Pay it all. He finds some money and pay it all, and he gets to half the profit to make.
And he does all the bookkeeping.
His wife does. He can't keep no books. She's real smart.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And she's pretty, too, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. Nice as a girl.
And beautiful. And is she a nice girl?
Yes, she's real nice. She's smart as a whip.
Yeah.
Can do most anything.
Yeah. Nice.
She wanted me to help her paint a bed, and I gave her a bed. One of those double deckers. And she wanted to go down that cottage. They built a cottage down there at Half Moon Lake.
Yeah.
And she wanted that bed that I had stored in that hay house there. And I told her, yeah, you can get it. And said, what you gonna charge for it? I said, I'll give it to you. Then she said she was going to get the paint and wanted me to paint it.
Yeah. You get more out of remodeling it, you can with a bed, can't you?
But you can't buy them like that. It's a real good bed. It's kind of a little age on it, but good. But she said, I'm going to buy a new mattress, in other words.
Well,
but the spring was still good, in other words. Wasn't anything wrong with them. But she's going to buy a new mattress, double, and let Marty sleep in the one bunk, and the girl Terry sleep in the other bunk, see? They're like the service boy do. It doesn't take up much room. It's like that thing there. You could, put three decks on it.
That's right.
You trying the cucumbers out?
Yeah.
That old Smith, though, his wife said, you bring me about a dozen and I'll pay you for them. Old Carl Smith, when you're talking about down there, got potatoes, you said you had plenty.
Yeah.
But his wife bought a crate of the peas. It had yesterday.
Yeah.
And she was shelling on the day. He brought the crate over at the shop, I went in and had to put a spring on after that boy worked and had the truck jacked up. He had to work on that automatic transmission down there. He kept it down there about a week. Well, one of the front springs was broke. Back on the back, and it just come right on out of the sockets, in other words. Where the bolts, went through the round hole. And it was, like gap in like that. I said, that thing's dangerous. You hit a hole or something, that thing liable to get off on the side, in other words, and may turn you over, loaded.
And
I
hauled. You didn't know it?
No, I didn't know it broke. And there and I just hauled a load of citrus pulp with it, and the boy pushed it in the back with another and put a ton of pulp on it, and they had two or three of that blocks of that mineral salt, that iodide, or that old brown looking salt. Two of them on it, and then they had a bag of all that other stuff, that Seminole mineral. Had a bag it on now, 50 pounds.
Well, he don't mind.
He's pretty well loaded.
Feeding his cattle.
No, he's feeding his. He's feeding that pup right on. Even after,
Well, Willie don't feed his.
No.
And Frankie don't feed his.
No, I don't know how to get by. That yarn boy and that lightning boy there doesn't feed his. Gippy fed his a little bit, but Gippy said he's running the money. And he's buying that stuff at cost, from that man he's working for. That boy's going to get asked me. I didn't go to the wedding Saturday night because I'm messing with that truck. I just got it Saturday afternoon. And came in, and he had the universal uncoupled. It looked like it leaked out to a quarter saw rear end grease, at 90 weight, I reckon what it is in that rear end.
Yeah.
And I went to make an opening, and I said, I'd get my gas up there for 28 cents, people going up 35 cents out home. That's a little store for regular gas. And get it for 28 up there, and I said, I'll go by making up and get gas, and I'll have them put you know, two or three shots, whatever it takes, in the rear end.
That's
real. And yeah, they didn't have no.
No, they don't have it.
He didn't have it. Said he ordered some from White Electric, and he said, I hope to have it. And
yeah.
His wife was there, and she was real energetic and smart.
All right.
Well, he doesn't have any personality, but she does. But she said she may quit her job bookkeeping down at Florida Power and come in and run that station, that store.
You know, hadn't anybody had a service station over there that could help you since Collie got out of business?
No, that's about right.
Now, old Johanna could help you a little bit.
Yeah, but he didn't know too much. Joe didn't. His wife, in other words, was one of the smart there.
Yeah.
Just like this man that had it now. Now, he doesn't have any personality. He can't meet the people, and people are now. If you don't get busy on the car when they drive up there and get waited on the gas, they'll drive on all. You've seen them do it.
They just don't linger.
They don't linger. They can go to another station. I got enough gas to go to another station.
Yeah.
And some of the big car to buy, you know, 10 or 15 gallon of gas.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The kind you want to wait on.
Yeah.
But she told him the other day, not talking with her. She's a real friend, you know, and had a teenage girl that graduates next year. And she had two boys, and they'd helping her. Rearrange, you know, they're putting the little grocer of soap powder and all on one side and putting the canned bean on one shelf, you know, and getting the other item, you know, like grits and stuff like that on another department. And says she's looking for a second-hand meat counter, you know, to keep a bologna and salami and that old spiced ham and all in.
But well, said, I wonder what happened to one of those.
I didn't know what happened to Joe and them. They had one. I don't know what.
They had a nice one.
They did. I don't know what happened to it. Unless the company come and got it back, they might have been paying on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd have thought, you know, words or something like that, the insurance would have made it, like this girl out there, while the insurance straightened all of her out, all of her debts and all.
You never saw anything like that. Old Joe and his wife just snuffed out right there together. Both of them looked like they had fine health, especially her.
Yeah, that's right. And she wasn't but 51 years old. He wasn't about 55. He's not as old as I am. Joe wasn't. Whitehead, in other words, but she wasn't, I think, 51 years old. Wow.
He was accommodating, kept all them vegetables.
Yeah.
And had a lot of work in that.
That's right. Yeah, the colored man helped him some, but Joe worked, you know, wasn't he? He was pretty good at that kind of business, and he could do some certain things, in other words, to, you know, around that station, a little grease job and things like that. But they hired a boy, you know, to do the grease work and the dirty work.
That boy of theirs, was that an adopted boy?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a nice boy.
Yes, he is.
Right. But I'm telling you, he's running wild there towards the, towards the end. They couldn't get anything out of him.
No.
And of course, when they both got sick, I don't know what ever happened to him.
He's settled down now, in other words, to say, and got a job, and say he's doing a little bit better. And his wife is settled down a little bit. He finally married the little girl, you know, running after.
Oh, that is.
And they said they're going to calm down. They came down there, and they got after, in other words, and she joined our church here about 2 months ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And was baptized, too.
Well, now, I don't know where Joe's place is.
And they're living on Joe's place.
I don't know where
You know where the 75 is when you go into 75, going out 329 my place?
No.
From making open? No. You know you get on 75 just out of making open.
Yes.
Well, after you cross under there, the graded road to the left.
Yeah.
And you just keep following that graded road and you run right into it. Run in Agnes, Joe's wife, and also Agnes's sister. That boy's name is... Well, I had mine on his name now. He's got a couple of boys and two girls. The girl married Elhome boy out home. Rufus, not Gohagen. Rufus is the boy's first name.
Oh, yes, I know.
You know Rufus?
Yes.
Tall fella.
Yes.
Easy going.
Yes.
Good old boy. But he won't stay on a job. He's a cotton, in other words. And he won't stay on a job too long.
Yes.
His... Kinfolk, you know, they tried to get him and use him, and he wouldn't stay with them too long. But he's working cotton work now.
Did you ever work?
I never worked around him.
Never associated with him?
No, never have. I didn't, you know, nothing. I was associated with him, knew him, but I never have worked around him anything.
He can't get anything straight.
But that's what someone said.
He's just nice.
He's
just a nice fellow.
That's right.
But he don't get anything straight. But you think all the time that he ought to. He's such a nice fellow.
Yeah, you're right. But he's a good boy, and she's a good girl, too. That's Agnes's sister. She's older than Agnes. Mayor Leela.
Yeah. Now, he married Agnes's sister?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Mayor Leela, she graduated the same time I did.
Well, now, when I first came down here, Joe Hanna was working for Mr. Thrasher.
That's right.
And I remember I went out to his house one time to see him, and his daddy was out there. And he didn't know me. And I got to talking to him, and he saw Faye and me one time, and he approached me if we was housekeeping, if we could, he would pay us to take care of his old daddy. Or we could move out there and have that place if we would take care of his old daddy. And I couldn't do it because I had too much else on.
That's right.
But that would have been nice for somebody who's settled. I don't know what Joe wanted to do. I think he needed to get up closer
well,
to his business.
He, well, at the time, you know, Joe was trying to drive that gas truck and let Agnes on the station, you remember?
Yes.
He worked for Bo Hammond, wasn't it, a gas company or something?
Yeah.
And Joe would, you know, want to do that. But Agnes, you know, and that boy, you know, run the station and sell the groceries and the vegetables and stuff.
Well,
and he'd hire a boy, you know, and he'd have, you know, 4 or 5 hours off, you know.
Yeah.
You working a man working 8 hours like it is now.
Well, what was he
when
doing, Mr. Thrasher? Just staying in the store?
Yeah, he just clerked. And he wasn't getting too much money out of that.
Well,
Thrasher wasn't paying anything. All those other boys worked for him way back then. Thrasher's daddy was living. They didn't do anything. That boy, he was at his mother's funeral, Preston, when she passed away, you know, about a year ago. He came to his mother's funeral, and he's the same age I am. He and I used to go around together.
Yeah.
Used to go see the girl together, and he married a school teacher, and I was going to a bookkeeper, and I didn't marry mine, but he married his,
yeah.
And he got grown children. But he's a railroad engineer. He make good money. He makes about $12,000-$15,000 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he quit Thrasher, in other words. He got out and got him a job on the railroad, and he built up where he got to be an engineer.
Yeah.
But,
well,
I hadn't seen the boy in years, no, wasn't his daughter while she's, I believe she's already
back
in high school.
What did old man Thrasher, Joe's daddy, he just farmer?
You mean Joe's daddy, Hannah? I don't know what he did, Joe's daddy.
You don't know?
I didn't know him too well, no. I never get into, and his mother either one, now his mother's still living.
Yeah.
That boy, Jimmy, go down and sees her every once in a while. He lived in Tampa. That's where Joe went, you know, and they had them treatment. They put him in that sanatorium down at St. Pete, TB sanatorium, you know, and they thought he had TB.
Yeah.
And they treated him for TB, and of them come to find out the boy had cancer.
Yeah.
I show you the doctor, you don't know it all.
Don't know it all.
And it wasn't long, in other words, where I think got a hold of him, and they went in there, and they couldn't do any good. They just sewed him back up, and he just, you know, went right on out, just like she did the same thing.
But you don't know his.
I didn't know his mother. I didn't know his mother. I met his mother and his dad, but I didn't, you know, didn't talk to him, in other words, or nothing like that. I was,
is that their country there where Joe's, his, where he was living? Is that where he's brought up?
No, he came up here from down South Florida.
Oh.
That's where his daddy was, too.
Oh, I see.
But she got kind of ailing, and he did, too, and then after he found his Joe's daddy passed away. Then his mother still lived.
Yeah.
Then Henry and Edward came in, and this other farm out there was a big old two-story house.
Yeah.
They gave it to Joe's wife to take care of him. And he's the one that's hard of hearing now. Henry. And had arthritis and finally wound up, you know, getting in a wheelchair.
Now, who is Henry?
Henry was her uncle. That's Max's brother. Max and Nixon, bro. We got it ready here, haven't you?
Well, I tell you, just this afternoon about 2:00, somebody brought me a few teas.
They did.
And I knew I wouldn't have time to cook what you brought
mm-hmm.
me.
Well,
I bet you haven't been having any teas. I bet you've had them 3 times a day.
Not too many, though, but I have them at noontime. We go to rest to eat. They have them.
They just
I'm getting a couple. I'm hot too. But we get peas, you know, and mashed potatoes, you know, and a sliced tomato, you know, for lunch time. They have not been going to dinner. But the man ran his automobile on the stump. So didn't have any way to travel, and in the dark, we were riding with him in his car. So we'd go to Avery's house, and we'd eat something his wife had left. See, wait a minute. But now in the school's out, why, he's got his car now.
And I hear some tomatoes.
Oh, screwing out, and he's got his car,
Got
so he don't have to. He don't have to summer ride with Willie and everybody.
That's right. What is this? Spice pickle or dill?
No, Sister-in-law. This is
it's homemade, isn't it?
Yeah, they're homemade. I didn't do them, but they're homemade.
Sister-in-law said she's gonna bring me out a jar to a dill fixed like this with onion and the cucumbers.
Yeah.
Gee whiz, Faye, these peas are something.
These black eyes. That's what I had. I had a half a tray. You could have had some. She could have put some of them in the freezer and ate off of them, a long while. But the cow, Ernest put the cows out. And they like peas too. But eat Compton, I would enjoy them.
Oh, they really go for peas if they can get a hold of them, don't they?
But we're about to. We done picked them 4 or 5 times. They're about over.
Oh, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
she put up 7 trays.
Can't go broke during that. Mm-hmm.
With these on now. Did you sweeten your teeth up?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do it as the rest of the day. He wanted to adjust his transmission. I said, I'm off today. The doctor had to carry his wife to the doctor. And he got pump trouble. Deep well pump, you got one, you know. The area got pump trouble. You lose your pine, they're taking out a barrel of water pine. And he had been had it, in other words. He thought he had it sailed. He went and got a new cut off, and that wasn't it wasn't right. And I said, it's getting there. Then it comes finally leaking.
Yeah.
Leaking water, and I said, that's where it's getting there. And he caught old Lad William. Lad said, screw that little screwdriver valve that regulates you on and off. Said, screw it out of it and cut your pressure down, and it won't lose its prime so much. You won't have the water pressure. So he did that, and it worked fine there for about 3 days. Then he woke him up one night, been running, he said, and had it all night. So he's still got water trouble.
What are you going to do?
So he worked on that today, and the doctor was going to the doctor, so we're going to start back to work in the morning.
Let me tell you.
I told him
You tell Aaron I'm in bad shape, too.
He got a crane, the name of his. Now, yours old Meyer, old Deming, or what is that pump?
No, it's a reasonable. It's a reasonable. Blue jacket or something like that.
Red jacket.
Red jacket.
Yeah, party handling them. I don't bother with them.
You don't?
Mm-mm.
I got it from Bill Wynn.
One of them will last me a long while. They don't agree with me. Bell pepper and cucumber don't agree with me. Not like that. Now, I need these here. You don't need to pick them.
Well, let me tell you.
But to draw it.
You tell Aaron that whatever he does for his, he could do for mine, too.
Well, you know what it scared me, Dale? Sitting in Roebuck, $600. That's what scared me, Dale. That's $600.
He's not going to. You can't. Let me tell you.
I said, Aaron, if you can find them. Somebody handle that crane and just get the base. The electric motor oil is in the jet where it is. And the jet is getting air. And that's where that adjustment is, it cracked. And I said, a man might be able to braze that with pop metal.
Yeah.
And I said, underneath there, the gasket, it may be the gasket. Take it off and put a gasket on it. You have to make one. You can make a gasket for it.
How's he going to pull it?
He got a plastic tube in it. It's easy to pull. Plastic pipe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A plastic pipe.
100 feet long.
Well, who?
That's 100 feet to the water.
No wonder he got a leak.
You know what I mean? One of these, you know what a plastic pipe is. And you just start out there, you know, and just keep feeding it in there. You don't have to have no rig there to put that thing in the hole.
Yeah.
I said, feed it on out. Take it on out. And set the thing off of it.
Well, how do you seal it down the bottom?
It's got a, it's the inside of an inch and a half, see? And it's always, see, it's sealed on top there.
Yeah.
And that thing just pushed in there, see? And it sealed it up there underneath your base.
I see.
Underneath the base of the house. And And that jet, you know, it revved it and it don't get in the air. That's what gets your water. Kind of like a centrifugal pump. You've seen them work, haven't you?
Yeah.
The friction, in other words, it got to pull that water up. Mm-hmm. It'll make sense.
Well, I don't know. After.
But $600 is what we're in here now.
Yeah, we're in me too.
So you're going to take all the money you're making out on the fence, man, and also up in the university.
Let me tell you.
Well, he didn't make him do my university. Cooker said he wanted him to join the union and he'd make more money. I said, well, you might as well. He's coming. No, I don't want to. The rest of us don't leave. I said, well, it's coming. I said, my brother, he finally had to go to it. One that's in business in Tampa. We double the wages of men. Cooker wages would be about double.
Yeah.
But here, he's not making too much up there, and then not too making too much out there with that man. And like myself, poor boy, he just scared of that $600, which he had a right to be, I didn't.
You know, Faye, this is a working man's supper I'm eating, and I haven't done anything today except, I worked this morning.
Well, me either. I had a nice dinner tonight, trade wind, and Carl, he come back to him after the man checked on the transmission. He put that little spring on there for me. I helped him a little bit.
Carl
Smith? Yeah. He gave me a Pepsi Cola. But I had a good baseball dinner down at the trade wind.
What'd you do with your transmission?
He pulled it, overhauled it, taking up another part. They wanted about $45 for that back piece where the seal going on the back end.
Yeah.
When you take one off of one that he had there, Fred did that. Carl don't know anything about transmission.
No. But he didn't have to. It wasn't inside the transmission.
No. It's on the back end where the drive shaft fastened on to it. And here he picked up a kit, you know, gasket kit. It was about $8 for the pan and the side gasket and the back end gasket and the gasket fits on that universal joint where it coupled on.
Well, now, you see, if you could work with Fred and he get into something where he knows what he's doing, that's fine. And then if he'd tell you when he gets over his head and you could go on somewhere else, that'd be fine, wouldn't it?
That's right. But he looks like Hart did about the rope wagon. He got two pull jobs off of 75, in other words, because he couldn't fix it. Pulled it off and they couldn't help themselves. They're down. $15, put it off for 75 and got there while he couldn't fix it. Then he called the telephone and let the woman talk to the Volkswagen place as you turn in the string fella in Gainesville.
Yeah.
Said, yeah, they'll fix it. And she said, well, how much we charge to put it on up there? Another
$15.
Yeah. Well, they had hooked on the machine. So they piled in it over a wrecker. The man and his wife both got in there with him and that little Volkswagen kicked up like this on the back end, in other words. They'd rather ride with him in that truck, or they can get in that Volkswagen up like that. They head out for game.
Yeah.
But they had a transmission of a mailman towed down there for a week. And they're taking that converter out four times and finally taking the whole transmission, put it in the back end of a big Buick, electric Buick automobile, and carried it up there to get a converter to fit. Then they kept talking, I got to have another beer. You can't drink beer and work on a man's vehicle. You believe you can? I don't want him working on mine.
I wouldn't want him working on mine.
But you know, they called my sister-in-law and Fred said, I'll get it by myself. I said, well, Corky said he'd help put it back in, you know, on Saturday. Said, I'll help you. That's what old Cook said. One they called Cookie or whatever his name is. He said, I'll help him put it in. And I told him. And I said, I'm getting the boy out of school now, and I won't need too much help. It's flat, and it'll stay on the jack. And I'll jack it up and get it fitted in there.
Who did that?
Old Fred.
Yeah.
And he did.
Well, I'll be done.
But
well, you know, it
cost me $10 for that back drum thing with a seal on it. And there he got the gasket, and I haven't seen him anymore since he got the gasket from me Friday. I've seen him, but I mean, he'd been working there when I saw him too, but he's working on that pump yesterday. Doc and I worked yesterday. The air didn't work. He was waiting on that pump.
Yeah.
And we want the man to come out there, and he's going to stay there and see what was done, which is the right thing to do. And but I gave Abe $10 gets a gasket. I imagine it'd be $6, I imagine, at least for the gasket, I imagine.
Yeah.
And 35 and 6 and 10 for that piece. That's about $50, what it cost. But that's better than $190-some-odd for a rebuilt one.
You can get out for that. You can just, these days, you're lucky.
That's right. Because, you know, most people, you know, they want $100 before they even look at one of them automatic transmissions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Harvey, I don't know how he's going to come out here. He finally got it back, and he's driving on the mail route.
You know, that's what's that?
Harvey Young. My mail carrier out there, with that new Chevrolet. Mm-hmm. It's 69. But the sand all got in it and chewed that thing all up. The converter.
I don't know how they...
That boy pulled that thing out of there 4 times. Me waiting him to get through it, you know, to get started on mine. He told me, he gave me an appointment, and then I stayed up there all day long. And went down to that rest up there. Lucky a friend of mine, there's four of us, and he just taking the check and throw the $10 bill up there and taking all, paid for all of it. Working for the Southern Bell.
That's nice.
Yeah. So we got a pretty good little meal out. That little rest doesn't make it open. Where they feed the sawmill men.
I never been back there.
It's right on the highway, right on down from that station. Atkins, 606.
Oh.
What do you mean feed the sawmill man?
The one that works at the mill. You're about 300 down there working. All of them, some of them carry lunch, you know, but a lot of them men come up there and eat, you know, country dinner.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, just like we eating here.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, that's how she can keep open.
That's right, she's not making money on that gas.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps open, that's at noon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I heard old Mike Weaver saying he went down there for dinner. And yeah. I thought to myself, mm-hmm. Bud, you're going to get indigestion.
But
now she's cooking for some hands.
Yeah, she's cooking them other people. And got the daughter helping her. Tommy Boyd, you know him?
Yeah.
Tommy Boyd's wife helping her. She just, that old big glass of like this, just kept that thing full up of tea. Of course, she knew them though, wasn't it? I gave them some potatoes. And worked with a boy was that right out there about three or four years off and on. And that little girl of his, she isn't wife of his, she ain't bigger than 2-bit piece, but she knew me though, and she just kept bringing her tea to me,
uh-huh.
Filling it up. And that tea would hit the spot. But I just sitting around there waiting for Horace, and they were pulling out the transmission and putting it back, and finally Horace carried it to town. He done rode up there carrying that woman, you know, off of 75, and he wasn't helping that boy do anything. And he said, my boss said, got to have a beer. And my boss man came in with a little gasoline engine off, going riding thing.
Yeah.
I used to pull and crank, mess around that thing, you know, and get it started for it. But after I got it started, well, she put her can up there and she could drive it, you know, everywhere. You didn't know anything to drive. I ain't taking drive on them tractors, can't you say?
Sure,
yeah. Well, that's where she was. It's a little tractor.
Yeah.
And more than 3 or 4 acres.
Well, you all just had a party up there then.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell
Rick Walton, he's in the party. You know him?
Who?
Rick Walton.
No.
He got a big semi-trailer to haul vegetables, watermelon and everything all up north. He got a GMC tractor and trailer.
Where is he?
He got a home in making up in there. He got a nice home in Greenville, he and his wife.
Oh.
She worked in trashes for a long while, his wife did. A good many years back when they're living and making up it.
Lord help us.
Willie Mae is her name. Willie Mae Walton.
Is that a daddy that's in there now?
No, I don't know who that fella is in there now.
His name Walton. And he's a right clever fella.
Yeah, he like you said, if it's. This is backbone rapping, huh? I like this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, now.
But Mr. J.E. is in there. But he, his health is bad. He want to be a plane, I think.
I mean, you mean he came over there to eat?
No, J.E. was in the store. He stayed in the store and I wasn't kind of checked thing. And Dick's wife goes up and helps him when they get busy.
Yeah, yeah. But over there now at the, what is that, Tussle?
Mm-hmm.
Old Harris was trying to get that fellow's little car going. And you...
And he told me, and I would come, you know, in the morning, he'd have him fixed. And instead of him fixing, like, taking that ball all the time, he'd ride, you know. Telling them people up there, you know, go out on 75, it broke down. He went out and made that $15, you know, in about 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And put him in the station, and he couldn't fix it. Yeah. It was a bigger job than he thought for. And he's not a Volkswagen mechanic anyway.
Yeah.
And he told him, he said, well, where's the next one? Well, and he asked in the game there.
Yeah.
So we got on the phone, you know, and called him direct. Now, well, that's on the Southern Bell.
Sure.
And the woman, she was a... on a vacation, where she talked while she was the one that was footing the bill. I think he's in school and she's working, in other words, and on a vacation, and they're going somewhere in that Volkswagen. And they went out with him. And the man said, yeah, you fix it. And she asked him, I heard him and asked him, how much charge him to put it up there? Or well, it had it hooked up. Well, another
$15. Yeah. Yeah. They won't touch it for less than $15.
That's right.
I don't think they get rich even at that.
No, because they don't get it regular enough.
No.
But he quit while he was working on, like he was with me that one time. One came in there, had a little carburetor trouble.
Yeah.
And went to pay him. I was paying, you know, for him working on the other man's car. He has it on mine by the hour. See, like you do down here, you have to watch him leave other places in Ocala even.
Oh, yeah.
Down there, Sears and Roebuck the other day, putting points in. Condenser in my brother's car, I carried it down there, Sears and Roebuck. And the man quit and went over and checked something else. Nobody was taking him and taking out a spark plug, you know, put a new spark plug on him. That's all he needed. But the label was still fixed on him about $8 an hour, see. So the man told me, you know, and said, that's the rule. They tell me to do that. Says they're paying me $2 an hour and they're getting $8. That's a policy. And then they come along now, says, well, I said, I've been buying tires for a long time, and I haven't been in the habit of paying for bouncing. When I buy a tire, they bounce the tire and put it on my vehicle. When I had cars, I had two automobiles one time, and had two pickups and two big trucks, you know, one time. Had
but
two
you
cars.
Paid for it down there.
And, but down there, he said, that's a policy. And that old Bach boy lives it ready.
Yeah.
He worked on TV and radio. I asked him, he said, yeah, that's the company rule.
But you don't have to go back.
That's what I told my brother. But I said, that's the reason I don't buy nothing. I'm sitting over.
But what I'm trying to get at now, over that truck stop, you all just had a party.
Oh, yeah. I've done another word and talked another word and nothing to do. I couldn't get the truck fixed. That boy, he waiting on Harris to come back with another converter.
Yeah.
He's with us, old Charlie boy.
Yeah, old Charlie. Charles.
That, yeah. Charles, that, you know him, Charlie
Who
boy.
Who is Charles?
Well, he's Harris's cousin.
Oh, is he?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's a nice fella, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a nice old boy. He wet, too. He could be working and getting a regular salary no more than hard to give him.
Yeah.
But he'd had several opportunities, you know, to get a job.
Yeah. Well, what does he hang around out there for? Just horse around?
That's all.
Yeah.
Nice and hard for them. They're closed up when they want to. He likes that.
Yes. Not too regular.
He got him a girlfriend up the street there, you know.
Yeah.
You see her. Horse, he got him one, you know, too.
Yeah.
I'd have done put him out, his wife.
Oh, is she? Oh, really?
Put her out. Put him out.
My Lord, she put up with him a good while, didn't
she? Put him out. You know where she is?
No.
She's making about $85 or $90 a week, you know. She's a parts. So Frank Ridgway, I knew him and he was working with the Rambler place and games there. Big place, going in on the old road.
Oh, she can do that?
Yeah, she's a parts. So.
Yeah,
she's pretty smart. That girl is.
That's better than...
And she's making enough, you know, to buy cigarettes and buy her beer, in other words. And she got a car. Horace got that old truck.
Yeah. That's right. But that's making it a little hard on Horace, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, he's having to make his own living.
But say his girlfriend bring him something to eat.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, he's tired of resting, in other words.
Yeah. Now, you've known Horace a good while.
Oh, yeah. He could have been in pretty good shape. My brother-in-law gave him a good opportunity, gave him a chance to buy that place, and he just threw the money away and wasn't able to buy it. He wanted to
fish
it
up. One thing now?
Yeah. Fish, hunt.
he'd put in a little time over there, and then he'd knock off.
And fishing and hunting season, talking about he'll knock off, too.
Yeah, he still does that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all right, but he can't buy that property the way it sells
now. But your girlfriend, her folks had the money, and they went and bought it, and I thought, Horace going to run it for her. But she got two more counties running that old drive down, you know, it probably had that next to the old bank building.
Yeah.
Horace's girlfriend, you know, her folks let her have the money to buy it.
Yeah. And then
well, it wasn't $6,000, though. Charlie charged them that old building. $6,000.
Looks like he ought to have been able to.
Yeah, he should have swung it, looked like. But his credit done been run it, and people won't let him have anything on credit. He got to pay for everything. That diamond park place where you got that converter, he had to carry a checkbook and pay for that thing. Carry it with him all the time.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
White Electric won't let him have anything. R&H won't let him have anything. Ocala won't eat a level. Standard parts. You take man lose credit rating in other words, but he's in pretty bad shape. It takes some credit to operate now.
That's right, inconvenient, yeah. He got to pay for the parts before he can work on the man's car.
Yeah, but he told
he can't charge.
He told Mac Weaver, he said, I don't know. I've told him a price. He said they'd do it in Gainesville, but they couldn't do it. I told him that I'd take it down for $35. You know, that's a normal price, you know. And top of Pontiac, you know, they want about $65, see. They got the book price. You know, they have a book price on things, then they have a normal wage, see. Like, coming to work for you, you know, if you had something me to do, the price maybe that I'd be getting somewhere else, maybe $4 an hour, but I wouldn't feel like charging you $4 an hour. I'd charge you $2 or $2.50. But Horace told Mac that I don't know where I want to borrow that transmission. That's a job, he said.
Hard
for $35. Yeah, that's a job, he said, $35. Then he told me then after Harvey had him, you know, there for another 4 or 5 days after I left there on Wednesday. And he called my sister-in-law before 9 o'clock in the morning. She goes to work, you know, around 9. And my brother gets up about 9 and let her know, you know, and I was banging on up there when he got, you know, cleared out. We had one or two other jobs there to do. Had a valve and a ring job on a Plymouth, 66 Plymouth automobile. That boy Charles had to do that. Hardly, all he does is get the job and let that boy do the work. Tell you the truth about it. So he never did call, and then I told Ernest, I said, well, I'm going to Gamble and see if they won't get to it. There's two of them up there. White told me about another boy that's out on at the filling station. He got a transmission worker. He's good, and he'd be reasonable. And Lamar Pearson, he's automatic transmission man. Well, he was busy, and Gator transmission was busy. And Gator told me don't let them. You have to buy your parts from them, but don't let City Transmission down there where they got a big building there where there used to be Latimer Tire Company on the other side, red building. So they'll take your pocketbook and you along with it. That's what the man told me.
You know the fellow out here?
Yeah. Williams, Earl Williams. The Gator, I know him, his name is Hall. Corky knows him too. Nice fella. I gave him a mess of real steak, and he thanked me for it the other day. I didn't see him anymore after he fixed it. But he tore it down and put seal in for $35. That's 3 or 4 years ago, you see.
Yeah.
And in the wintertime. And I butchered my beeves. I butchered 2 or 3 beeves, calves, now yearly, you know, dressed 250, 300 pounds. And I carried him some, T-bone.
Is that Earl fella, is he the one that lives out there on the Windsor Road, Rochelle Road?
No, he's on. William is the one that lives, I don't know where William lives, but he got his garage, you know, with that City Transmission. He's the head man of it. It's right on the other side of Latimer Tire. Now, that used to be my buddy in fixing tractor tire, in other words, old man Latimer.
Yeah.
And he knows my brother-in-law real well. And he always gave me a discount, just like old Radiator Man.
Really?
What's that boy's name? Butler.
Yeah.
Butler married a boy that I went to school with, married his daughter. He went to fix my radiator. gave he and his wife. His wife's a bookkeeper from the business, and I gave them some potatoes, and he was glad to get them. And he wanted his boy to work in farm, but the boy's going to take him up.
Now, who was it over at the truck stop for dinner, lunch that day?
That boy that called him.
Charlie was there.
Charlie and Rick Walton and myself. And that other boy that called him Frankie. And Frankie, he's a superintendent of the construction people for the Southern Bell Telephone Company. Got a good job. He makes good money.
Oh, he's
and he's the one that pulled out the roll of money, peeled off a tin, and said, I'll take the dinner. Take care of the dinner. I know him, but I don't know him well. You know, Charlie and Mr. Walton knew him, in other words.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, well, I thank you. You know, and she kept filling my tea up with a glass of tea.
Yeah.
I said, it's nice to have a friend there.
Yeah.
And after came on out, he even said, no, I'm going to tip him. You know, the little girl asked you to fill my tea up, know it. No, he said, I didn't take care of that. Well, he left her, 50 cents.
Yeah.
You know, which is good enough tip, know it, half a dollar.
Yeah, make it open.
Yeah. Actually, make it open. Now, if it'd been in Holiday Inn or some of these other places, they might have won the dollar. But then I said, I know one thing. If you're the woman, I can tell you this, but since you're a man, I can't tell you that. He said, what is that? I said, I always catch it, everything. I'll bite. I said, well, I'd tell you it's sweet of you to do that. And Tommy's wife, she just laughed. But I couldn't tell him, it's sweet of you to take care of the bill.
Tommy's wife, she's a right nice little girl. Mm-hmm. I used to see her.
She is. She's nice as can be.
Yeah. But Tommy quit this part of the woods. He's up there in big money.
Mm-hmm. Must be. He's driving his own bulldozer and doing his own thing in his land. And the damn bulldozer made a better job of it than anybody he's hired, I believe.
Yeah.
That's right. He told that boy, I said, he said, if that boy let me drive the thing, I believe I'd do a better job grading this road. That pull blade?
Yeah. That wouldn't be hard.
No. But they told him, and Elbert told him, gave him the authorization that, knew that he knew how he wanted to fix for him to be there, you see. And he and I both were waiting for him to do it. Then we were going to sow it in grass, see?
Yeah.
I had the hair, and Tommy had the cedar, see? I had to cut it, kind of scratch it with a tandem hair.
Yeah.
With a tractor. And Tommy was there, with a cedar behind him.
Yeah.
Going to sow it in my head grass, all on the side of the road, Well, he'd sow it in the road, too. Of course, the ruts, killed it out. Not too much, because he wouldn't go in there, like a highway or nothing, just once in a while. So Tom was telling that boy how to do it, and he wouldn't do it right. Like Tommy told him, he said, he couldn't do anything for me, Tommy said. And I said, no, I wouldn't have him doing work for me.
Yeah.
That's Rick Walton's son-in-law. But Rick, he'd do a good job. That boy here, but he wasn't no operator.
Yeah.
Wasn't Andrew Graham, he'd supposed to have been one. He wasn't really what you call an operator. Tommy can beat Andrew Graham. But Tommy got his outfit, and he done got his pushed up, most of it.
Does Andrew still operate?
Yeah. He's still got a bulldozer. Pretty good size, and I think it's about a 7.
Does he ever use it?
Yeah. He's off somewhere, been using it somewhere now until he brought it home, and Andrew whacked him with some other logging crew, or skidder crew or something now, I think. Guy, I believe it's a skidder, where that snake them logged out of the woods.
I never saw Andrew working but once, and that's when he cleared some of his land over here that Freddie Woods bought.
You pickle real good.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they good?
They are. I eat them like that. They're good with meat. In other words, Ruby said, I'll bring you some down Sunday. I'll bring you some dinner. Well, the other day, they came back after the boy's wedding. I didn't go. I told you about it. I had to go down and get 3 shots of grease in the ring and got talking down to that boy. I went over to Gibson to get my check cashed, in other words, that I made, that week with them other people. I didn't make the $58. Well, you don't work too many hours, see? And I wanted to pay that man for fixing my truck, in other words, and I told him I'd give it to him, the next day. And I said, I got the cookie check, but it's a Tallahassee check, and he paid me for the big truck, Cookie did.
Yeah.
and he couldn't get no air, and he said he told him that he wouldn't stop the animal, and he bought, filled up with gas, too. And his boy knew the boy working there, but he just company policy, just like I tell you about seeing Roebuck. They don't care if they don't ever see you anymore. They'll get along without your business. I told Cookie.
That's right.
I said, they don't care if you don't buy any more 15 gallons of gas in this big Cadillac of yours. I said, people now, they haven't got any concern of anything.
No.
They don't think about living and let live while they want to gouge you or hook you before you get a chance to hook them to figure. And that's the general principle thing now.
That's right.
I've been around people too long now. In other words, I know how they act. But it's the wrong attitude to have.
Yeah.
You're like people want to hook you on these jobs, in other words. It's outrageous what they want to charge.
Well, now, let me see now. Hart didn't help you on your trip.
No, he never did call or nothing. And he finally told me, said, bring it on down here. And I carried it down and left it. And the colored man come and picked me up in his Chevrolet, the man I'm working with. He got a car. But he come home to eat his dinner, you see. But, as I told Aaron, Aaron, boss man, we used it. Use his car. He got a little Chevy 2, Chevy Nova or something other like that.
Yeah.
And he got air conditioning, in other words, power brakes and all that stuff on it. And he come out there in that field, you know, I mowed some of it, and I said, there's too many stumps, and I can't go. And I said, I get this bush hog on top of something and ring that joint. I said, that's $90 right there for housing. Jippy, I tore his up, and I didn't know what it cost.
Yeah.
And I said, that man's supposed to clean it up with a bulldozer, but he didn't do it. He just scarred over and cut him up a little bit with sand. And I quit, and he come across the field over where he was working that fence and hit one of them stumps, and I wasn't that little low car, you know, where them little cars got small tires.
Oh, yes.
And he bent the axle, you know, and tore up the power steering when he worked. So he had a time getting it back in the yard. Had air out there looking at it, and he told me, he said, I guess Mr. Whittaker, he called him Whittaker, but his name is Whittington.
Yes.
I don't know whether you ever met Whittington or not, have you? Aaron?
No.
He's a cousin of mine. And I said, yes, he told me that you'd run into the stump, but I didn't ask him where or anything, but Aaron said he didn't either. But he didn't have no business going out across that field that night on bill, but he wanted to see, you know, where we were, how much we'd done that day, I reckon. I didn't see him do it. Aaron said he didn't either. Of course, 90 acres is a pretty good sized field, you know. We back there in the wood side, you know, where he fenced the woods and all. And the hayers come in little places. And I and Aaron said, I think he's going to let me have it, and I'm going to put it in that clover and mow it and sell the hay off where it's the horse people. And I said, well, if you can do that, it'd be a good deal. And you put the hayer in there with it and resow it again. Because there ain't enough hayer in them out there. And then you'd have to get somebody a big machine to cut it, you know, again. And I said, go ahead and sow it in that clover. We mow it for hay. I says, I mowed something for Dockers, 15 acres, and horse people come pick it up right in the field, getting $45 a ton for it.
And they come pick it up?
They come pick it up, $45 a ton.
Yes. Why do they pick it up in?
Trucks and trailer, horse trailer and everything else.
They got their own.
Yeah, most of them, you take that bull bet, yeah, they got everything. We've got bulldozers.
Yes.
All right. That comes more of that fatten and stuff. That'll make the bear catch the...
I don't think that's fatten.
That'll make the bear catch it. And it's getting hot now. I don't know why it's going to be in July. How hot you think it's going to be a little later?
It couldn't be any hotter than it's been every 95
and 96 one day.
Oh.
You know, it got so soft, in other words, it seemed like you just couldn't see cook.
I couldn't breathe.
And the colored man said, is it hot to you? I said, it is that. I said, these things here, these automatic diggers, will get you hot. He's supposed to have gotten a tractor with a, you know, like yours, a digger already on it. And then they get that thing. Usually need automatic. You know what they are. They're two handles on it, and you use them like this.
Yeah.
You've used the bike a few times, haven't you?
Yeah.
And I'm a little sand rocking over it. It's trouble. And I said, you get 60 years old, and the doctor, he's 70. And there is 58. And he said, notice Aaron, he don't like that. He wants to go and haul a post and put him in the hole. Said, well, he's a superintendent of the job. He got this job. I had it before the other people bought it. But they came to stay with them, you know, in the home a few days.
Oh, did they? Oh, is that the way?
He got to know him, and he's the one that got the job. And I told him I'd help him, but he didn't do much, you know, while I was around Hastings on my job. He just kind of coasted along because he was working up at the university, and he didn't do too much. But,
let me tell you. I passed by that other day and looked at that fence. That's a fence.
You did see it? Yeah.
Yes.
It ain't bad.
That's nice fences I've seen. I just wondered,
what he needed was such a fine fence. He ain't going to have it at Bremer cows, is he?
No, he wants Angus. He wants Angus cows.
You don't need much of a fence for Angus cows.
No, but I told Aaron, and Aaron told him about maybe the man might want another stand of Bob on top of that. On six stands. No,
five.
He got five, and he's talking about putting another one on the outside next to the highway down there, the main road.
Almost to the end. Continuation of the visit with Everett this Tuesday at supper, the 15th of June, 1971. Channel 2 right. End of Channel 2 right, and a continuation of the visit with Everett this Tuesday at supper, the 15th of June, 1971. Channel 2 right, and a continuation of the visit with Everett this Tuesday at supper, the 15th of June, 1971. Channel 2 right, and a continuation of the visit with Everett this Tuesday, the 15th of June, 1971.